quality of life rather than the one who's going to save your soul from a burning hell for all of eternity. For example, we've told people that if you are a salesperson and you give your life to Jesus, your sales are going to increase. We've told people that if you are married and you give your life to Jesus, your marriage is going to get better. We've told people that if you're a sad and a depressed person and you give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden you're going to be lifted out of your depression. My brothers and my sisters, I've discovered that Jesus may or may not increase your sales. He may or may not get your marriage better. He may or he may not lift you out of your depression. But I'm here to argue this morning that the primary purpose of Jesus coming here, hanging, bleeding, and dying on Calvary's cross and being raised up from the dead on the third day is so that he can redeem your soul from hell and get you into right fellowship with the Almighty God. That's what it is. That's what it is. We are not going to win a popularity contest with the world. We are not going to be able to compete with the world. Jesus is still sovereign over the world, even if and when America decides they're going to completely reject Jesus altogether, which it seems like that's the road that we're on right now, quite frankly. Amen. You and I have got to come to the place that we understand that God's will is God's will, whether it's popular or not. If Jesus were standing here physically today, I know he's with us right now, but if Jesus were standing here physically today, what would he say to you and I? The good news, my friend, is we don't have to wonder, because he has left us with his word. And every time we open up the Bible, every time we open up the Word of God, it is as if Jesus is standing here with us physically this morning. Notice, if you will, in verse 18, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am?" The first thing we notice about God's will is that there is a request. It is God's will that you and I understand who people say who he is. It is God's will that you and I understand who people say, what people are saying about what Jesus has done. You know, in Islam, they say Jesus was just a great prophet, but he's not God himself. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is a God, but not the God. My brothers and my sisters, there are many things that people say about Jesus today. Some people say that he was just a wise sage. But you know what? If you believe that Jesus was just a great prophet, that's not going to help you get out of spending eternity in hell. If you say that Jesus was not the God, but a God, that is not going to help you get out of spending eternity in hell. If you say that Jesus was simply a wonderful counselor, well, that may very well be true, but that is not going to save your soul from going to hell. You see, you and I have done so much wrong before a holy God that it is in his best interest. It is in his right. It is his divine prerogative to punish each and every one of us. And if he doesn't punish us, that doesn't make him a good God. Oh, no. That makes him a man who has everything less than a person of integrity. How would you feel if you went to court knowing that this person standing on the other side of the courtroom stole everything out of your bank account? And the judge said, well, since I'm such a good judge, what I'll do is not only will I let the guy off the hook, but I will not give him the responsibility of making restitution to you for what he's stolen. Oh yeah, to that criminal, that judge may look like a phenomenal judge, but he wouldn't be an honorable judge. He wouldn't be a judge who has integrity. In the same way, if we look at God as this God who's just going to forgive us because we've done wrong, he's just going to let us off the hook. He can't do that, because if he did, he would cease to be God. He's got to judge us. He has to judge us. If he does not judge us, he will not be the Lord. He won't be righteous. He won't be fair. Ah, but that's where the good news comes in. Because God became a man in the person of Jesus, and he died on Calvary's cross. And when he died on Calvary's cross, he suffered and hung and bled for your sins and for mine. That anger, that wrath, that judgment that he had reserved for you and for me, guess what? He took it out on Jesus. That's why we love him. That's why we sing praises to him. Because when I should be suffering in all of hell for all of eternity, 2,000 years ago, God became a man in the person of Jesus and took upon him the consequences of all of my sins, past, present, and future. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why we worship the Savior. We need to make sure we understand that. Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? Secondly, if you and I are going to understand God's will, we need to understand the rumors about Jesus. Notice, if you will, verse 19. They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, others say that one of the prophets and who's risen again. That we need to understand that not only has Jesus made a request, we need to understand that we have to grasp the rumors that people are what people are saying about Jesus. There are people running around saying the Bible's not true. There are people running around saying that Jesus got together with Mary and had a son and went to France and all this other kind of stuff. Hence the Da Vinci Code. That's nonsense. Stay with the Bible. The Bible hasn't changed. People change. Cultures change. Societies change. But the Word of God does not change. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man may come into the Father except he come through Jesus. And it fascinates me how if you go to some churches and you stand up and say that, they get mad and want to throw the Bible at you. My question is, if you don't believe that, what are you in church for? Listen, I'm the dean of a theological seminary. I go around to a lot of churches. And let me tell you, there's a lot of mess in a lot of churches. And a lot of it stems from a bad understanding or a misunderstanding of who Jesus really is. Listen, I didn't put it in the Bible. You didn't put it in the Bible. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at Jesus. He's the one who said it. And all we have to do is stand upon God's word, irregardless of what people say about Jesus. We have to go back to the truth. Let me hurry up before I run out of time here. Notice, if you will, not only must we understand the request that Jesus made, not only must we understand the rumors that people have floating around about Jesus, but we need to make sure we get the recognition. Verse 20. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Mashiach. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one that God has sent down here to take away all of my sins. There was an expression we used to use in church about 20 years ago. I'm sure many of you may remember it. It says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give to me. And this joy that I have, the world certainly cannot take away. Why is that? Because he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. When I'm standing around in the desert with no water, when I'm standing around somewhere and I don't know what God's will is for my life, when I'm standing around and I'm just confused about everything that goes on in the world, I still have joy in my soul. You know why? Because I have a right relationship with God through Christ. You know what that means? It means that when I die, I will not spend eternity in hell, but I'll spend my eternity with the Savior. We've become such a culture of materialism, and we consume everything. And then after we do that, we're looking for another fix. And you know what I've discovered about the world? Can I share this with you? The world has run out of ideas. You haven't figured that out yet? Oh, you don't believe me? Can I demonstrate it for you? Let me demonstrate it for you. You know, back in the 80s, there was a specific movie that was just awesome. You know? And when I saw that movie back in the 80s, and it was just phenomenal. And now, you know what they're doing? They're remaking movies now that they did back in the 80s. You know why that is? Because they ran out of ideas. What movie are you talking about, Al? I'm talking about The Karate Kid. Right? It gives a fresh expression to that saying. It's the same old story. The names have just changed. Amen? And I'm not knocking the movie. It was a phenomenal film. My children and I, we saw it Friday night. You know? And of course, later on, I had to expound upon the moves in the film, you know. Listen, don't let the stomach fool you now. Don't let the stomach fool you now. I still got skills, as we say, right? Yeah. The world is running out of ideas. They're running out of stuff to do. They're running out of stuff to say. We don't have to reinvent Jesus every 20 years. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Praise the Lord. Notice, if you will, down here in verse 21, the Bible says, and he straightly charged them, commanded them to tell no man that thing. This is the thing that I had a hard time with, the restriction. Let me stay with my outline here. First of all, we see the request. Secondly, we see the rumors. Thirdly, we see the recognition of who Jesus is. And thirdly, we see the restriction. Jesus challenged his disciples, be careful about who you talk to. That was something I had a hard time understanding. I couldn't understand why. I mean, how could you not be as passionate about Jesus as I am? You mean you don't want to be saved? You mean you don't want to walk with the Lord? What's wrong with you? That was something that I really had to learn. Before you go out and share the gospel with somebody, you need to pray. Lord, do you want me to take the risk and share the good news of Jesus Christ with this person? Or not? Yeah, everybody needs to hear the gospel, but there is a certain timetable that God has for people to hear the gospel. I'm convinced of that. Because sometimes, I know I've done it, you do more harm than you do good. Amen. Every time I talk about this, my children just laugh at me. Okay. Now, I'm not from Texas. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, in an area known as Miles Avenue, Southeast Side. All right? Known for car thieves and murderers and drug dealers and all that kind of good stuff, right? Okay? And I was just absolutely frustrated when I was 18 years old with the stuff that was going on in my hood. Amen? You see, in that culture, you really weren't a man unless you had done some time in the joint. I knew by those standards I would never be a man. Because the thought of going to jail just scared me to no end. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. No, mm-mm. So I stayed on the quote-unquote straight and narrow. You know what I mean? But what I would do in my zeal to talk to people about the Lord is I would stand out there on the street corner with my friends that I grew up with that were selling crack, and I would tell them. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I would tell them, you need to quit selling that crack and give your life to Jesus because you're going to hell. God is going to get you for standing around here on Eastern 119th Street selling that crack. You think he's just going to be stupid enough to sit up in heaven and say, it's cool. You can sell that crack and I'm not going to do anything about it. You can poison people's lives and everything is just going to be okay. Right? And so we would argue back and forth about them selling crack, you know. And one night, it had to be about 10:30, 11:30 at night. You know, I'm standing out there in the Bible right there on East 120th Street arguing with my friends about why they ought not to be selling crack. You know, it's a Friday night or a Saturday night. And so they get mad at each other as they typically do and start fighting and shooting at each other. And don't you know the police came? Have you ever seen that show, Cops? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? It was one of those things. And I kid you not. Trust me, you don't want to experience this. When that helicopter came on the scene, okay, and they shine that light right there on East 120th Street, it may have been 10:30, 11:30 at night, but it looked like it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I kid you not, okay? And so I'm standing there with the Bible in my hand, and this cop just charges me and tackles me in my friend's front yard. You know what I mean? Bible flies out of my hand. And the guys who made their arrest, they had told him, hey, he's not with us. He's just, you know, a guy who, you know, lives down the street and around the corner we grew up with, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and that cop had his knee or his foot or whatever it was in my back. And it was hurting, let me tell you. You know what I mean? There is a time to talk to people about Jesus. That's right. There is a time to talk to people about the Lord. And what saved me was they pulled out my ID from my wallet that says Cincinnati Christian University. And they saw my Bible laying, I don't know how many feet away from me after the guy had tackled me, you know. And they picked me up and told me to go home. I went home too. Enough of that. That's right. Yes, we need to talk to people about the Lord, but there is a time to talk to them about the Lord. And I've since discovered it's best for me to wait for my friends to get locked up in jail and go to the jailhouse. That's right. Every time I talk to my dad, he manages to bring that up. Yeah, boy, remember that time he was up? Yeah, must you remind me. Thank you very much. Right. But anyway, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead here. And then down here in verse 22. Verse 23. Look, go to verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Oh, that is so important. This is one of my favorite verses right here, the rejection here. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Oh, love this verse of scripture. I understand. The Christian life is a challenging life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Christian life at times can be a very difficult life. Somebody say amen. I was sitting around talking to somebody, and I never will forget what this guy said. He said, Al, I don't see why people who go to church have such a hard time. They're always whining and moaning about how difficult things are. I said, well, Layton, you got a point there. And I couldn't explain to him why that was so. He's a 41-year-old frat boy, going from one party to the next, chasing women all over the place, you know. And then it dawned on me just last week why we seem to have a harder time than people like that. Can I tell you why? Because people like that have never tried to live a holy life. Think about it. Whenever they wanted to go do something they had no business doing, they didn't have the Spirit of God saying, you ought not do that. Whenever they wanted to just ball their fist up and punch somebody out, they never had the Spirit of God say, no, you ought not do that. Whenever they've gone and done something they had no business doing, they never had the guilt and the shame that comes with being convicted by the Spirit of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They never felt bad about doing wrong because they never tried to live a holy life in the presence of a holy and righteous God. My brothers and my sisters, let me encourage you. Continue to do what Jesus said. Deny yourself. Young people, I love music just like you do. Love music. Listen, I'm down with hip hop for life. I am. Right? It's part of my culture. It's part of my soul. Right? I was raised listening to hip hop. But I have a hard time with the substance in it. See, when I was coming up, hip hop was different. It was basically standing on the street corner and bragging on yourself. Hey, amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm this, I'm that. Catch a heart attack, right? That's all it was. You know, now it's turned into something altogether different. Grab that gun before you're dead and shoot so-and-so in the head. You don't need that. Deny yourself the pleasures of the world. Think about it. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And I know what you're thinking. It's just music. It's just the beat. I'm not going to go out and get a gun and shoot anybody. I'm not going to find a girl or a boy and lay down and have sex with the person. Let me let you know the secret. I don't mean to sound like a Baptist preacher. But young people, I got you where I want you. You can't run. No, I'm joking. But seriously, the devil takes that stuff. You know what he does? He plants a seed. And you keep listening to that stuff, years down the line, you'll wake up somewhere in a place and you can't even figure out how you got there. The reason why is because you allow the devil to put that stuff in your heart while you were young. I know you're tired of your parents and your grandparents preaching to you, but that's their responsibility. They're trying to steer you in the right direction. Now, let me tell you something. I'm 41 years old. Me and my wife have been together for 20 years. We got three beautiful girls. Now, true enough, they think I'm the biggest nerd this side of the Jordan River, but that's neither here nor there. Okay? But when I gave my life to the Lord, it didn't make me better than my friends who decided to live the thug life. But it made me better off. 20 years down the road and around the corner, I can look back and I can say with confidence that the Lord has really, really blessed me because I chose to follow Him. Let's be clear, I didn't do everything right. But He gave me grace to make it through those difficult moments. My heart just goes out to you guys because you have so many challenges that we didn't have when I was coming up. You know, there are so many opportunities for you to get involved in stuff you have no business getting involved in. We have cell phones and the internet, all that kind of stuff. That's just more opportunity. Technology is good, but it just creates more opportunity to do wrong. It really does. Be careful. Be careful. Let me hurry up and finish here. Lastly, down here in verse 27, Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." If we want to understand God's will, we need to understand His return. Now, when Jesus said that there are going to be people standing right here who will not die until they see the kingdom of God, if you read the pericope that comes right after that, you'll find that Jesus took His disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what we call it, where He was transfigured into a glorious state. And they got a glimpse of what the kingdom of God would be like. But the point that the Spirit has made an impression upon me to emphasize is one day Jesus is going to come back. Those 401ks are certainly important. But in the grand scheme of things, they mean nothing at all. Nothing at all. The reason why we come to church on Sunday is so that we can be reminded of what our prayers should be like in the desert. The reason why we come to church every Sunday morning is so that we can be reminded that one day Jesus is going to come back. And we have to be prepared for it. The question on the table is, are you prepared? If you're not prepared, get your heart right. If you're here today and you don't even know the Lord, I want to encourage you to meet Him right now. This is your opportunity. Please don't let this time pass. Please don't do that. Now let me take advantage of this opportunity to say this. I know I'm not the lead pastor, but just hear me. If you're in a sin right now that you shouldn't be in, get out of it. Get out of it. If you're cheating on your spouse, stop doing that. Go to somebody you can talk to who can help you get out of that sin. You may not feel led to talk to me or Randall or Rocky or Bob or, you know, or anybody else on staff, but go to somebody. Can I say it the way we say it in our contemporary vernacular? That is not cool. It's not. It is not cool. It's not cool. It's not cool. Get out of that mess. I don't know how else to express it. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's going to blow up in your face one day. Nobody's slicker than the devil. Nobody. He's been outsmarting people for thousands of years. Who do you think you are? You're going to come on the scene. 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And you're going to outsmart him. Don't be stupid. I want to encourage you. Get out of it. Stop it. Amen? Can we pray? I'm having some technological difficulties right now. So what I'm going to do is take this out and cut this off here. Can you hear me now? Praise the Lord. Amen. If you feel led to come forward and just talk to the Lord about anything, I guess that'll be all right too. If you feel led to come forward and just bow down before Him, I think that's a wonderful thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful privilege that we've had to spend time in Your Word today. Lord, we love You today. Father, we ask that You bless Rocky and his lovely wife as they vacation and take time off to get away. We ask, oh God, that You bless this wonderful congregation. Just encourage them, Lord. Bless them. Father, You know the concerns that are here today on people's hearts. We ask, oh God, that You would minister to those as You see fit. Thank You, Lord, for being true to Your word and true to Your character. Thank You, Lord. Amen.